This is Dr. Ryan Brewer, and I never listen to None Taken.
So I wanted to debut a new segment, Dustin Googles.
I love this. This is Alan's show.
And perhaps we, once we complete this little mission, we could just hit the button. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. I'm ready. This is going to go into the show. Fuck it, yo. Alan's got to get to a hockey game, so we're not.
Yes, we got
to
roll.
No more dilly dallying. I'm excited to do that. I'm afraid we're going to miss our window if we don't talk about the eclipse before the eclipse.
Okay, let's do that then, real quick.
Well, real quick. A couple eclipse facts. I have it saved in here somewhere in an old note. Not Ozempic. Ozempic's going to save the birth rate, I think. Ozempic's going to save
it. So?
Yeah, it's going to solve diabetes, and it's going to...
Ozempic is just like a miracle drug.
It's got
it
people...
all the things.
Right, it's got, you know, people want to fuck their wife again, so they're... supposedly birth control doesn't work on it anymore, so it's just like...
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh. I wasn't aware of all of that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what I'm talking about. At least I'm not Charlie Kirk saying, don't take it, because you need to be a man or whatever. You remember that from Wednesday.
I recall that. Yes.
Where's my fucking eclipse notes?
It's down here at the bottom by...
No. Don't distract me. Okay. Do you know what eclipse means? It's a Greek word.
Oh. I guess
it's not
I
a
don't.
Joke. Don't make a anal
yeah,
sex
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, I don't think I know.
Okay. Usually my Greek questions involve, you know, never left his brothers behind. You remember that one? That's a great punchline.
It is.
It means abandoned in Greek, eclipse.
Oh, like so the sun abandons us when they...
Yeah, exactly. The Mitsubishi Abandoned. An excellent car from the 90s.
That was a fun car.
It was a fun car. Remember the 3000 GT?
Hell yeah.
Fucking loved that car. Those you look at them now, you're like, oof. How come Mitsubishi and Dodge had like the same... cars.
Do you remember the Ford Probe?
It's yeah.
It's kind of a more rare.
It was. That, do you know that the Ford Probe was supposed to be that generation Mustang?
I didn't know that.
So the 90s Mustang with like the more smooth lines and everything
makes
to
sense.
It? Yeah, that was. Sense. They were going to do the Probe and they couldn't do rear wheel drive, I think, for it. So they didn't.
One of my buddies had one. And I got to be honest. It was pretty fun to ride around in. It wasn't bad.
I can add to the fun of the Ford Probe for you.
Do
I'm
please
give
do.
You a little game. Whenever you see a car on the streets, put the word anal in front of the car name, and it makes it. It's just like a fun road trip game, you know. And Ford by far has the best. Like, I mean, you already started with the grand finale with the
right, road. Obviously.
But yes. I mean, the excursion,
right?
You know, the expedition, the explorer. I mean, that whole
the
line
anal
was
Taurus.
Fusion. I don't know what that means, but it's
about the charger, the anal charger.
Yeah, the anal escape. Yeah, well, you get it.
Escape.
I have another note. Something about Saros eclipse cycle. I don't know what that means, but probably didn't have to include that note. So, yeah, that's all. I'm excited about the eclipse. I can't wait to go look at the sun. It's gonna be so fucking dark out here. It's gonna be crazy, man. It's gonna be
you're
like
you're kind of in the
yeah.
Area,
we're right on the edge of it. Oh, me and the boys. and so like, you know, the daytime's going to go dark for us. That's going to go fucking wild. It's always hit or miss whether it's going to be rainy and cloudy or not, you know, but like,
even if
there's clouds, like it's going to get so dark. It's going to be so crazy, man. It's going to be such a weird sensation.
Alex Jones thinks it's the, time for the government to try out martial law.
Oh, I saw all that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Martian law.
Yes.
What do you even say to that? Like,
I don't know.
Patently not true. Like,
so hit me with some facts.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah, you're right. I guess like the Egyptians were wrong. You know, it's not all of the like ancient studying of, you know, how the planets move, but that's
fine. Right.
So you figured it out. And why would they do that? Like, they could do that at night. They don't need, like, you don't understand. It's nighttime during the day, so we can do that. We're like, what are you talking about? You could do that at night if you need darkness. Like, it happens every 12 hours. Like, you get this opportunity constantly.
Sometimes less.
12 hours. Yes. Yeah. Well, sometimes more.
Sometimes more.
I'm curious about this game you have for me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So,
I also promised somebody that we would open with a sound. I'm just going to get it ready in case.
Okay.
Just in cases.
Okay.
It's not a lack of faith for you. It's just, you know.
No, it's fine.
I made a promise.
We can do both. I can play my game and then we
can. Yeah, and then I'll press this button.
There we go. All right. Okay. So Armenia has come up many times on the program.
Not enough, considering.
Are you familiar with the term Armenian radio?
No.
Google that, please.
Oh, I like making you Google things.
See? Yeah. How the tables have turned.
Yeah, well, you can Google the scientific name for a pine tree then.
Ooh.
You want me to search for
Armenian radio.
Armenian radio. Oh, Wall of Voodoo did a song about this.
Did they?
No, it's Mexican radio. I'm on. You forgot about Wall of Voodoo, didn't you?
Click on the first one. Should be
the public radio of Armenia?
No, Wikipedia.
From the Wikipedia article, the Radio Yerevan jokes, also known as Armenian radio jokes, have been popular in the Soviet Union. Is this like Polish jokes and other countries of the former communist Eastern Bloc since the second half of the 20th century?
Okay, that's good enough. Okay. So I'll explain this. So this is essentially a formulaic joke, sort of like a knock-knock joke,
yeah,
where there has a certain formula to create this joke, and then you insert different things in there, right?
The aristocrat.
Exactly. So you say, Armenian radio, our listeners asked us, why won't our country send astronauts to land on the moon? Our answer, they're worried they might not come back.
Okay.
Second one. These are my two favorite ones. Armenian radio, our listeners ask us, what is business? Our answer, steal a case of vodka, sell it, and then drink away the profits.
Where did you hear about this? Russian humor is weird. Is that what you're going to say?
Yes, Russian humor.
Russian humor is weird because they're famous for saying, if you're smiling, you're either an idiot or an American. So, like, yes. That doesn't really breed a lot of, like, knee slapping, you know?
So I will explain how I encountered that when we get to our media diet.
God damn it. That's like an hour from now.
I know.
You know what? Fine. We'll keep it in that region and we'll start the show with the sound. Is that okay with you?
Let's do it. All right.
I like this. Come up with more Googles.
It was fun. Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
What did you just say?
Oh, wait. This is Nick Heron. Nick_Heron. He deserves a follow. He makes good rules, good reels with good reacts in them. Anyways, okay. Nick Heron, Haron.
Two R's.
Yeah. He said, what are you saying?
What did you just say?
You see?
I thought you said they're killing innocent people.
This is Joe Biden finding out that they're killing that the Israelis are killing of committing war crimes. Pleeple?
That's not even a word. What is pleeple? No, yeah, lots of innocent people dead for sure. Yeah, no, we knew that.
Y'all let me in this damn house.
It's not funny, I'm sorry.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
Pleeple. It was funny.
Alright, you ready?
I am ready.
That was lighthearted and fancy free.
Are you recording?
Strong. Yes. All right. Well, you want to start a show?
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Ways I just hank out the main
boom. Welcome to the Friday Headlines Roundup edition of Nut Taken. Where every week, my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcast a day. And Alan watches 3 hours of cable news. Yuck, so you don't have to. And now, get ready to take a sledgehammer to the culture war echo chambers. But first, Alan, it's Friday and I get to play this.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt.
What?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Guys, the redirect site is up and functioning. So if that's what's been holding you back from buying your culture war veteran shirts and hoodies that you definitely deserve, because if you're here, you are a culture war veteran. So head on over to... so the link, the redirect link is working. You don't have to remember Teespring_fungible-none-, you know, take, it's just preownedbuttplugs.com. Head on over to preownedbuttplugs.com and pick up your None Taken merch. You deserve the Culture War veteran shirt. Or conversely, you can get one for free by signing up for the show's Patreon under the Culture Warrior tab. I still haven't changed the title of that. Alan, I don't know how to log into that. Can you change that? Oh, wait, I do know how to log into that. I post on there every day. Okay. I need to change that. It's right now it says This Guy Fucks because that's something Brido said about us. But,
oh, right.
It does make more sense to the Culture Warriors. Anyways, if you sign up for the $18 a month tier, you get a free television t-shirt of ours. And
man camera.
Person, woman, man camera TV. I'm good. Yeah.
Trumpgags.com for that, people. Trumpgags.com. Sign up for the Patreon. You get the full unedited video of every show. Plus, we have some exclusive content, some content you'll get before everybody else. And if you sign up at that top tier, get that free t-shirt.
Yeah.
Which I know.
Don't be
want.
A jerk. Don't like sign up and then cancel. Like, I mean, I'll do it, but like, you know, we trust you. We're not going to set up some rules about it.
I mean,
a lot of places are like, if you commit to 6 months, we'll do it. And it's like, no.
Dude, our listeners are cooler than that. They ain't doing that shit.
What I'm saying is, I'm not worried about you doing that.
Absolutely not. Also, support the people that support us. SlickItsDigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs.
Hell yeah.
SlickItsDigital.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Happy Friday. The weekend is here. Have a can of beer. We made it to another weekend, ladies and gentlemen. You know, as Dustin said, I do have a hockey game to get to.
He's going to go watch the Sharks lose.
I am. Yes, most likely, yes. I got to switch out of my hoodie and put my jersey on and all that
sweater.
Kind of stuff. So, yes.
It's a sweater. It's a sweater.
Okay. I accept.
Do you have any cool hockey sweaters?
I have Logan Couture.
Do you have like alternates or just the straight ups like the teal and the black?
I have three. I have a Brent Burns, which is teal. And I have a Logan Couture, which is teal. And then I have a white one, which does not have a name.
Okay. Nameless. Yeah. Like nameless. I almost named our nameless contributor. That would have been bad for him. He's got a real job. I don't know why I asked you that. Do you want to start with the first headline?
Without further ado, let's begin. All right.
That is such a podcasting phrase, isn't it?
A New York
Judge. Oh, I'm sorry. That was ado. I didn't mean to put more ado in there. Okay, no more ado.
No more ado. A New York judge denied former President Trump's request to delay his hush money trial until the Supreme Court reviews an immunity claim saying the motion was untimely. So essentially what the judge said was like,
should ask me earlier.
Yeah, if you wanted to do this, you should have asked me earlier. His defense in this case has not raised presidential immunity as a potential for, you know, how they're going to defend him in this case, because the events that led to this case, Stormy Daniels payoff,
was while he was a citizen.
Correct. So he just kind of tried to throw that in there to delay it. Judge is like, nope. So as of now, this is the trial that will start the soonest on April 15th. So what, you know, week and
next
a half
week
from now?
Yeah, a week and a half.
That will be very interesting. And I think that the merits of this case are going to be pretty difficult for them to overturn. It's pretty cut and dry.
Especially
here,
with the person that gave the porn star the money testifying against him.
Cohen, yes.
We can't keep opening the show with Michael Cohen. I'm not going to do it again.
I know. Don't do it again. That's fine.
Oh, I accidentally played the whole Sklar Brothers clip to open the last one because I'm so into like barely editing. I didn't even edit the fucking... Everybody knows I paid them for a cameo. They're not really our friends.
Hey.
That was fun. It was cool they did that.
It was cool they did that.
Sorry.
It was
cool. You were talking.
Actually, I think I'm done with that headline. Unless you have more to add.
No, I keep thinking whenever I hear about him, his gag orders and TrumpGags.com to join the Patreon.
Yeah.
It was funny that he had an expanded gag order, and it reminds me that like I don't know this, but like people I know, I hear that there's like these like Trump gags that like expand, and that's what I picture every time that his gag order is altered. Pray that I don't alter the deal any further. That was a Darth Vader quote. Jabba, you're throwing away a fortune. Don't be a fool. That's a different quote. Sorry. Different movie entirely. A 7.2 magnitude earthquake hit Taiwan during morning rush hour. Those videos were crazy. Like people on the bridge.
They were.
People in the pool. Like yeah.
Did you see the overpass? Like,
yes,
just shaking?
I did. Yep. Yeah. It marked the island's most powerful earthquake in 25 years. At least 9 people have died. This is an early headline. I'm not sure what it ended up being at, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. I know other, a lot of people were injured. I know that other side effects of this were that like TSMC, the chip manufacturer, had to shut down production, at TSMC. That's probably what I meant to say. And it's probably, East Taiwan that did this, right? China, right? China is working on weather technology.
Totally. They're fracking nearby. So yeah, last headlines I read, there were still people trapped. There's like a there's a roadway that runs around, like, I want to say the eastern coast of the island, and it's a pretty treacherous.
Is that where all the videos were of the boulders? Like,
yes,
the guy, first a boulder rolls across, then he throws it in reverse, and as he's backing up, boulders keep rolling. I'm like, dude, you might want to just stay put, actually.
That's where,
like,
some of the people died. Yeah.
Well, I don't mean to laugh about that, but like, as he's backing up, you're like, well, you're just lucky that when you backed up, that one that just rolled by again wasn't the one. Like, like, I'm not saying I know better, and I probably would have done something similar, but like, at some point, what can you do
in that moment, right?
Yeah.
So that roadway is already kind of sketchy, apparently. It's like one side's a cliff going into the ocean, and then you're on the mountain on the other side. And there's a bunch of tunnels that are part of that roadway as well. And a lot of people were trapped in their vehicles inside those tunnels.
Oh,
they're working to get to them. So if you can imagine being on a bus in a fucking tunnel that's caved in, like, that's terrifying.
No lights, no food or little food, you gotta start rationing.
So fortunately, where the earthquake hit was not a massive center of population. I mean, if it had happened like in Taipei or whatever, that would have been, a lot worse.
Yeah.
So where the epicenter was, not densely populated. So, kind of lucked out there. But I mean, it's a very active area seismically. They have earthquakes often there. But this one was one of the biggest, as it says, they've had in 25 years. So
you said Taipei, and then you started to list other cities, and then you didn't say any. Can you name a second? You're a big Taiwan fan, Alan. Name 3 cities.
I cannot name other cities. Yeah. Can you?
No, but I think that we should definitely like lose aircraft carriers in defense of Taiwan. A place I can't name 3 cities in.
Maybe we should work on that.
If we could name 3 cities, of course it'd be worth losing 3 aircraft carriers, though, right?
Of course.
Yeah,
that's all
in
you
that
need.
Case,
really.
Yeah. All right. I mean, these are the rules of band knowledge, right? Like, if you can't name it, then who the fuck cares? You're an idiot. NATO Secretary... Oh, it's your turn.
No. Oh, yeah. NATO Secretary General Stoltenberg said that the alliance is exploring taking lead from the U.S. over a coalition that coordinates military aid to Ukraine. The White House signaled opposition...
Taking the lead from doesn't mean, like, learning from us. Taking the lead away from us.
Correct.
That sounds great.
So, the U.S. has, ever since this sort of began, created a coalition of 50 different countries, and they are coordinating bringing aid in there. And the U.S. was leading that coalition. Because of recent political strife in the U.S., the NATO general was like, hey, maybe like we take over that. U.S. not happy about that, said, hey,
they
like,
have to say that, though.
This is bigger than NATO. There's way more countries than are in NATO. And, we've been doing it effectively.
What do you mean it's bigger than NATO?
There's more countries in this
that
coalition.
Are in the alliance. It's a NATO-led alliance, basically. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that, we talked about what happened with the food trucks on the last episode. Now they've turned all their boats around. They had like 200 tons of food on them that was scheduled to be delivered to Gazans. Situation there is pretty dire. And we feel, I personally feel like our leadership's been a little feckless in this time period. So if NATO could take the ball and run with it,
that's the purpose of it, right? Like everything would be wonderful if we didn't have to essentially, when you're leading it, like the buck stops here. Like that's true in every organization, right? Mm-hmm. So like if we're the ones calling the shots, then all of the blame essentially falls on your desk eventually, right? Like, because you have to take responsibility for the people that you say you're supervising, right?
Absolutely.
Like, you either lead or you don't. So if you're leading, then you have to accept all of that. And it would be wonderful to let someone else be more competent, perhaps, in it. You know,
if they could be more effective, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, because that's the point. That's the stated objective. Like, the U.S. Right. says we want this, so we want to lead so that we can have that, which, duh, like, you know, if you have something that you want to see done, chances are you probably want to be, you know, have you ever like had a leadership position come up at an organization that you're at and they like announce it to the company and you're like, well, I better apply for that. Otherwise, one of these fuckers is going to be telling me what to do. Right. Like, so like, absolutely. I get why the U.S. was like, look, I don't want to fucking listen to France, but
right.
maybe it's better for us. You know, like if you're saying that as the U.S., do you want to have this objective and you can't do it? Let somebody else do it. That's also leadership.
Absolutely.
Know your role Absolutely. And know that roles change. That's a big phrase of mine. I always try to say that a lot.
I like it. I like it. All right. It's your turn.
President Zelensky signed a law lowering. So this is like what Julian was suggesting, except a year and a half ago. President Zelensky signed a law lowering Ukraine's military conscription age from 27 down to 25. So that's... honestly, kind of reasonable. I'm pretty sure we do 18, right? I remember Vietnam history.
Yeah, I think
history.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, I remember when I wanted to get my driver's license, every male listening, did they expand this to women? Probably not, right? Every male listening that has a driver's license had to sign the piece of paper that said, I also joined the selective service, the draft, basically. So if there is a draft, they leverage you like, oh, you want to drive a car? Okay. Well, in order to say you'll do that, you have to sign your selective service paperwork. I mean, you don't have to, but you also don't get to drive. Like, that's a thing in American history, that current environment, whatever the right word is there. So the dropping the age for the conscription to 25, I mean, you're defending your homeland or you're not. Like, it's probably not good. It's probably not going to be well-trained, equipped people, but, unfortunately, what this proxy war has become is sending young men to die. And if you think that that's the only thing that's going to slow down this invasion in your country, I don't like, again, go back to what I said earlier, leaders have to do unpopular things. Like when we had Cody on, he was saying like, you know, if Zelensky works out an agreement with Russia, his career is over. It's like, fine, mm-hmm. Your career should be fucking over. Career? Like you either are following the call of the people to run for something or you're being self-seeking, right?
An effective leader. Yeah. I mean, so effective leaders have to take risks and have to do things, make sacrifices.
Dude, I'm sorry. You know what? Maybe after the war, you're not the president anymore. That's probably fine, right? Like,
I mean, he'll be fine. Yeah. If he can save his country, I think that'd be a great thing. It has become
probably get a couple Netflix specials. Talk to Obama.
It has become a war of attrition, as you said. Sort of a meat grinder. The Ukrainian military says they need hundreds of thousands of more service members to combat this invasion. And so lowering the age, you know, opens up a significant amount of more potential troops there. So war sucks, but I think this is a reasonable thing for them to do.
And when you say reasonable, you mean from like a practical standpoint, right?
Yes,
not like, absolutely. Oh, I can't wait for this to be a new reality, right?
I was surprised it wasn't already there, honestly. I was, when I saw this headline, I was like, really? They were missing all those people before? So yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So you said meat grinder, and it made me think of the gay dating app. And then I went to see if meatgrinder.com was available. So it's being squatted on. And normally I wouldn't share this because they're probably expecting a lot from meatgrinder.com, especially with these products that they're recommending that you may buy. Meat grinder, you can click a tab and look at a related search for a meat grinder. Electric nut grinder. That's another tab. There's I should share it here. Another option is meat sausage.
Oh, okay. I think electric nut grinder is an early potential show title.
I like No More Ado.
I like that too as well.
Electric nut grinder.
All right, I'll hit the next headline while you're noting that. A joint investigation by 60 Minutes.
Wait, why not Meat Grinder? Meat Grinder, that's also a good title.
I don't know. I like the ring to electric duck grinder.
It's too many words.
Maybe.
Okay. We'll run it through the AI. Whatever the best picture.
I was going to say, put the AI and see what it comes up with.
Oh, man. I mean, I was so upset I didn't get to do show or not a grower last time. All I got was images of a small cactus around another cactus.
I am loving, by the way, Punk Rock Lobster's...
Me too. Punk Rock Lobster. That's it.
Isn't that what it is?
No. Punk Rock Bob Foster.
Oh, I thought I said lobster.
Bob, change your name. Change it. Do what Truck did. Do it. Like I don't know. I don't even remember what Paul's old account was. He's Gun Truck Paul now. That's like one of the greatest honors of this show. Is he's absolutely. Like, you know what? That is a good name. I'm going to change it to that. All right. Sorry.
I'm loving the visuals he's been giving us.
I do too. You know, they're weird.
They're weird. Yeah, but
that
I
was
like
definitely a giraffe vagina, right? Like you saw that, right?
I did see that.
Yeah.
All right, let me hit this headline.
Okay.
A joint investigation by 60 Minutes, Der Spiegel, and The Insider that Russia is likely behind Havana Syndrome, disputing a U.S. intelligence report saying it is unlikely to be caused by a foreign adversary.
So you go ahead, and I have a response to that because it sounds like you're saying.
We both listened to that podcast. What was it called? The Sound?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it was called The Sound.
About this, and they came to the conclusion that there certainly were cases that were not like could not be attributed to any other cause, and it was probably some sort of weapon that was being used.
And they were able to simulate the people that say it's like
directed
crickets.
Energy.
Look,
weapon.
There are cicadas and crickets or whatever there. That's sure. Like the, anybody who has this says, no, I know that sound. That is not the same thing as this. Like I'm familiar with what you're describing. Duh. What I'm telling you is what's going on is not that. And, you know, okay. Anyways, they were able to, in this investigative series, create using like microwave parts, something that could cause the same.
Potentially do something.
Yeah.
Like this,
yeah. So it's like, proof of concept is already there. And then you're just stuck with, well, we can't prove the Russians did this. So I guess it was, they made it up. Like, what do
And then the intelligence services came out and said, no, we don't think it's a foreign adversary. This is just some random kind of thing.
Because
we have evidence.
It, so you can't say that.
Right.
You have to respond. So you say that.
Right. We have evidence of the Russians having technology. Remember they had that passive, technology in like an embassy where there was no, electricity in it, but it was able to broadcast.
I forgot about that.
What was happening inside that room?
Yeah,
because they would just point a laser at it, and then they could get the information. Wow. So they would know what was going on, and that was like decades ago. So it's it's not at all impossible that this technology.
It was the it was a recorder inside either an embassy or a high ranking official of the U.S.
Right.
And they gave him a painting or a gift.
Yep.
They gave him a map and he put it up in his office. And if they could point a laser at the office, at that map, they could
hear what's happening in the room.
So they didn't have to put any kind of a device that would get picked
up. Right. So it was impossible to detect almost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're looking for the laser.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah. It's completely nuts. So, but certainly not out of the realm of possibility that they have technology that can do this. We know even our intelligence services have been working on similar things. So interesting to see that. I mean, these are pretty reputable news organizations. So for them to come out and say, no, we think it's Russia, I think that's a pretty definitive thing.
And when the guy from the CIA or whoever, the intelligence agency spokesperson said, we respect what people say they're experiencing. We're just saying we can't, we dispute that. Like
we can't identify the cause.
Which is a significant statement, right? Like they didn't say, no, these people clearly okay, all right.
Yeah,
sounds like what somebody that knows something would say if they were trying to like. So 100%. I sent you a thing about this and you said I didn't understand the context. Did you just like not know what I meant? I felt like that series wasn't very conclusive. I actually don't recommend people listen to that if you expect to be like a true crime thing where it's solved.
I was disappointed with the end.
But it was very informative. There was a lot of other things that are like it's better to know all the things about the world that you're in via that process. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It has no payoff.
No. But I don't regret listening to it.
It's the same thing as this story. They're saying that Russia is likely behind it. And also the intelligence is like, no, what are you? I mean, not no, but we can neither confirm nor deny. Governor Kotek. That's a cool name. Kotek. Not as cool. Yeah. Kotek. Oregon Governor Kotek signed a bill recriminalizing possession of small amounts of drugs, reversing a measure approved in 2020. Okay, boy. I was going to say, oh boy, Alan. And then I said, okay, Alan boy. Okay, boy, Alan. What What do you think about this? Because I know we've actually texted about this before.
Yeah. So I find this disappointing.
I agree. Like Oregon, unfortunate almost.
Yes. Oregon kind of took a step out on the ledge when they passed this legislation back in 2020. It was something I thought was a good thing.
When we say, when we both agree on unfortunate or whatever you said that I didn't like as much, we mean in the sense that, like, sure, recriminalizing it actually makes sense in terms of like leadership and what's going on and, you know, what you would expect to see done. That part isn't disappointing or whatever you said, but the fact that the scenario between when it was decriminalized to now, it's like, oh, it sucks that happened then. Is that what you were?
Yeah, because there's a couple of things here. So first of all, fentanyl happened. So you end up with a lot of drug users ODing because they're mixing fentanyl with other drugs or just doing fentanyl straight. And it became sort of, you know, places in Portland and stuff were just these open drug markets. It got pretty rough. Because of the exact time frame when this happened, it was worse because of the fentanyl as well as other things. Part of this legislation was supposed to incorporate rehabilitation centers and things like that to help people get out of this cycle. And unfortunately,
they never passed the funding for that.
They never got those
things up and running. So they decriminalized it. They were supposed to direct funds that were...
So the way the decriminalization worked was, so you get caught with drugs, you're given a ticket essentially, and it's, you have to pay a fine or you have to call a phone number and like sit through a seminar or something like that about, you know, treatment.
A nuisance, a reason to be like, do this inside, right, or don't do this in a way that's going to bother people.
Right.
Yeah.
And the second part, the rehab part, that whole thing never got up and running. So we only had half of this legislation actually going.
So we had the difficult part. This is a monkeys and pedestals thing again.
Monkeys and pedestals.
They were like, you know, the hard part is getting the rehab centers together, but we know how to do rehab centers. We'll get that. And we'll fund it from this. So that's training a monkey to,
right.
Yeah. And then
to juggle, yeah.
Building a pedestal. They're like, decriminalize. Got it.
Yep.
We do that. Look at this pedestal. Switch.
We can flip that switch overnight.
And
no,
that's
problemo.
Why it's frustrating, because this is, and the thing that's really frustrating about this is long-term, because no, this will always be a case study,
yep,
that people that don't appreciate nuance at all, like even in the slightest, will, right, say, oh, they tried it and it didn't work.
Look, yeah,
it's
exactly.
Like,
Exhibit
right.
A, Oregon 2020.
Right.
Like, that's what's
exactly
gonna happen.
So disregard the pandemic, disregard the fentanyl crisis really exploding during that time period. It was bad, yep, before, but it got way worse. And disregard it not being executed the way it was intended. People voted on that. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get what they voted for. So yeah, if you're not going to do that, you should recriminalize it. But
it sucks.
Yeah,
it sucks. I would love to have seen it work as it was intended, because I think it would have been a better solution to that problem. But
you
got to
think, if this was a private organization, like if you lived in like a private city or something like that, you and
maybe people, Disneyland could pull it
if
off.
If these people were threatened to have lost their job,
Disneyland should do it.
You know what, Alan? You're right. Downtown Disney, you're right.
Hell yeah,
they should.
They just, there's guys selling cocaine on the corner.
Yeah, and it's tested, and it's like, look, I got this tested at this reputable drug testing,
right,
site that's beat out all the other.
They could
bad
even like brand it, like you could get Mickey Coke or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, they already do that. I've seen the T-shirts. All right, why is this still sharing? Stop sharing.
Yeah, stop.
Why
sharing.
Why was that, right, still there the whole time? We were tiny little heads. Sorry,
we
guys.
Were tiny little heads. My dad's like, I like the Friday show better because you can see both of you. And I was easier. Like, we're bigger faces. And I was like, yeah, well, let me figure out how to do that on there.
Do you have an HD camera? I think it might be that my.
You know what? I'm going. If I have time, I might stop it in a
Bed Bath & Beyond.
Like Best Buy or something, and okay, see what they got and pick up one of them today. If not, maybe. Nice. Over
no, you do not have time. You have a hockey game to get to.
I do have a hockey game to get, yes, to. This is true. All right, Sam Bankman-Fried, founder of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX, was sentenced to 25 years in prison for fraud and conspiracy tied to the collapse
fraud
of
protection.
FTX.
Sorry, it was there.
And his related hedge fund, Alameda Research. All right, so I have some thoughts here. So a couple things. So first of all, people are getting their money back from what that they invested with this company.
Loophole.
However, it is based on 2022 valuations. So essentially any gains that they had in their Bitcoin.
You're saying things very quickly. Like, people are going to get their money back. That's a loophole in itself. Like, that's a bullshit argument. Hey, no harm was done. The market happened to work out that all of their invested money is now worth at least what they paid in, so we can pay them back. Like, if that wasn't true, was this less of a crime? Like, of course not. So, like, that's just lucky for you, that. But then not lucky for you is the other half, the second thing that...
Well, so
if they got 2024 money of that Bitcoin, it would be even more, and they're not getting
it. Would be even more. However, it's not like they lost their shirts. Okay,
I know, but again, so you're saying he deserves less of a sentence because they happen to be able to make people whole.
So, what I'm saying is he's not Bernie Madoff. He's not in that category, in my opinion.
He was incredibly reckless and clearly lacked the chip that was concerned about other people's well-being what he was entrusted with.
Of course. He was very reckless. And
have you seen that clip where he like says he doesn't understand what other human beings mean by love?
Yes, I have.
He's like, I understand what people describe that feeling as, and I don't recognize ever feeling that.
So Sam Harris had the... can't remember his name, the guy who sort of the founder of EA movement,
McCaskill.
McCaskill, yeah. And I don't know if you listened to that episode, but there was a lot of detail about what happened here.
I listened to two guys that were invested in Sam Bankman-Fried not being everything he seems to be talk about why they're mad at him, but they still think that... I don't think it's an indictment on effective altruism. That's a separate conversation.
I think 25 years is
I think the sentencing is spot on. I think that when you saw that it was like double life terms or like 5 years, 25 seems, well, it's a lot of someone's life. And I think
25 is too much.
I think that once you take a few years of someone's life away, it becomes exponentially worse each year after that. Even if they get more accustomed to it, it's just, you only get one chance at being alive. They're either going to learn that lesson or they're not, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know. Overall, I think that 25 years is too many. Obviously he was reckless and I think he did bad things. I don't think he was ever in the same realm of Madoff where
I don't know, man.
He was intentionally creating a Ponzi scheme.
I don't know, man. He was aware of all of the lies that he was making, especially in the last 6 months.
Well, and that FTX coin that they created where they could essentially act like the Fed and just print money.
Yeah.
was clearly a bad idea.
And he was fielding questions at that time about their solvency.
Right. I also think that the Binance CEO had a pretty big part to play in this.
Yeah, because he's the one that started the whole run on them.
And I think he was all too happy to take out a competitor. I think that without that guy, this maybe they're still...
That's an angle. Standing. When they make this a movie, he's the villain, right?
I would say so, yeah.
I watched the BlackBerry movie. I can't wait to talk to you about it. That had no business being that good. The movie the BlackBerry phone? I'll talk about it in a few minutes. I watched it.
Oh, yeah. I watched that like months ago. That's really good.
I watched it. I finally got around.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Usually
nice.
I'm like, I don't know. I'm not alert enough to watch one of Alan's movies. So you like all those slow talking movies.
I just realized I got my numbers out of sync here. So you want to hit
Yeah, I got you. The FDA approved an AI power tool. Wait, no. I read that wrong. Sorry, I'm a mechanic. The FDA approved an AI-powered tool called Pranosis? Pranosis?
Pranosis.
Pranus. That's like before puberty, you have a prenus, right?
Sure. Sure.
It's like, I mean, it's there. You pee out of it, but it's not a full... It's a prenus.
Prenus.
If pre-cum's a word, also pre-cum bothers me so much because premen was on the table. Well, hopefully not. Like,
if it's on the table, you need better house cleaners. That's all I'm saying.
House cleaners? Just get yourself some tissue. Also, don't jack off in front of the table. Are you saying that the house cleaner's been jacking off on the table?
I wasn't determining how it got there. I was just saying if it's there, somebody should clean it up.
You know what? If there's anything about that substance, it's all about how it got there. Ask Louis C.K. All right. The FDA approved an AI-powered tool called Prenosis.
Mm-hmm.
That helps hospitals diagnose sepsis for the first time. That's a good thing. Why did listeners? I don't read these headlines until Alan brings them to me.
All right, so I wasn't aware.
Like, you know what your chances are if you have sepsis?
pretty low.
50-50. That, like, you're like, hey, 50-50. No, like,
that's a coin flip on your life.
Pick a hand.
Yeah. So I wasn't aware of this, but sepsis, from what I read, is actually relatively difficult to diagnose. And so this company has made this tool. They've actually had it functional for a few years. They could have taken it to market. They didn't have to go through FDA approval, but they decided they wanted to get FDA approval before they started selling it, just because they thought it would lend credibility to the project.
Wait, you can sell things to doctors that don't have FDA approval?
Well,
this it would just be sold to...
It's software. It's not medicine.
I understand. Wow. Oh, man. That's a new question.
So it had to go through, I can't remember what it's called, but there's a term for when the FDA reviews something, which they've never reviewed something in that category before, because there's never been anything like it. So it had to go through this certain panel. So it took some years to get through and be approved. But now it's
like
being approved.
Like a COVID vaccine? Oh, wait, no, that took, what, a month? Okay.
That was an emergency.
I'm just appealing to some of our audience.
So, no, I think this is pretty cool. So what it does is takes in all these different factors and then decides, you know, the likelihood of a person having sepsis. And so they think this is going to save a lot of lives.
That's great. Really, yeah, that is really great. Cool. I didn't know that it was like a tipping point type thing where they're like, oops, you got it. Like, we didn't see it coming.
We hear so much about the potential negative impacts of AI, which are real. However, there are also pretty cool things that we can do with AI. So, you know, we got to balance that. Anyways, I think this is
And we're at the point where it is extant. Like, you're not going to put the genie back in the bottle.
Sure.
And, you know, being about a year and a half or whatever into it, it does feel like the biggest fears so far have not gotten here. And also, if those fears ever become reality, I don't know that there was anything we could do other than perhaps slow it down. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, right? Like, it's you know what this is? This is like conservatives' response about climate change. They're like, you're going to do all this because you might be able to do it. It's like, well, dude, like, I don't like your pessimism. Like, I think that, yes, I do think that it's worth doing something, whether that means tax our whole economy. I don't go that direction, but I think it's worth investing. Did you see they made a Pinatubo gun?
No.
The Navy or someone had been testing...
like a real one?
A small version that they just did off the side of ships or something in the middle of the ocean. So what they're going to do... Pinatubo gun is from a book called Termination Shock.
Termination Shock, yeah.
And the point of it is to put
Put particles in the atmosphere that will reflect sunlight back. So
basically this article I read was talking about making shiny clouds. Clouds.
That's also a potential show title.
Dogs don't like clowns.
Is Natasha home?
No, she's been home. We recorded early, Alan. She's still working. So they make shiny clouds that are more reflective. But they're going to do it over the ocean. Over the ocean.
Oh.
What could possibly go wrong? Where do storms come from?
The ocean. Jesus.
It's going to make big, shiny clouds.
I mean, it is an interesting concept. I'm willing to try anything.
We should do it like somewhere upstream of where storms come from that go to China.
There you go.
And then give them a finger.
Send them to China. Yeah. China.
China.
All right. Google agreed to destroy data collected from users.
Fucking weather warfare. Oh, this is what people are already saying is happening, right? This is, I just walked into an Alex Jones thought, didn't I?
You did.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of the point of Termination Shock also.
Well, I mean, partially. They don't know that, Alan. We could have been so fucking smart now that you've ruined it. You could have just played it cool.
Feast. And people
would have been like, wow, they came up with this. Not the author of Termination Shock, famous author. He also invented the term metaverse in Snow Crash.
Right.
Stevenson? Okay. Ferguson. Neil Ferguson.
Google agreed to destroy data collected from users in incognito mode as part of a settlement. You might hear that headline and think, what? I didn't know they were collecting my data in incognito mode. They, in fact, were. And this article has a number of emails from internal communications within the company, people talking to the CEO and other
They were kind of cunty about it.
They were like, what the fuck are we doing? We can't really market this. Because
they're like, why do you have a spy glasses on while we're doing this? Like,
right.
Yeah.
And we can't market this because it's not actually doing what people think it's doing.
They even said they're like, they should call it collect all your privacy mode. Yes. And it was like, well, that's not funny, but shit, that's wow.
So they've been,
facing some pressure from regulatory agencies, and so they just sort of unilaterally decided, hey, we should probably not do this anymore.
So I'm sure they got a huge fine then.
You didn't get
to that part? No fine.
No fine. No. No fine.
They just had to promise to not do it and to not delete it.
Yes. 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 So okay. Although I think...
Way to go, LenaCon.
There was some more pressure on the EU side of things, which also contributed to this. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's a win for consumers generally
speaking. Oh, it is. Yeah. And also Google being evil again.
Yeah. Remember their old...
I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
They've moved quite far past that.
Yes, they have.
All right, you want...
The core PCE, that's the price index.
Personal consumer expenditures.
Thank you. The Fed's preferred measure of inflation. This is just a way of being... Like, Which one looks better?
We talked about this like a month ago.
Which one? Oh, really? I did this before?
Yeah.
They're like, we like that one. That's the number we like. And then the next month we're like, okay, here, I know we like that one more, but in this instance, this is actually why this one's better. It's like, fuck off. So the PCE, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation, rose 2.5% in February from a year ago, matching expectations. That, which keep, you're like, well, we just had inflation. You should get it down to zero. Nope. Nope. Get mad at the Federal Reserve. Join me, kids. It's a little thing called expected 2% inflation. And you're like, well, you probably had a bunch of policy nerds and economists like hash down the global economy and figure out why, like, yeah, in fact, a small amount of 2%, it must be a very targeted, intentional thing because, Jesus Christ, everyone's lives and retirement is kind of riding on you not being like winging it. No, it was the Federal Reserve of New Zealand in like the 90s was like, we think 2% is a good target. And then everybody else copied that. Look into it as much as you want. That's going to be your takeaway. You might be like, well, technically they said this. Yeah. But at the end of the day, they picked a number and they thought it was good. And they didn't pick a number like zero.
Right. Right. This is all true. That is all true. So as the headline states, it was the expected inflation rate. So people are speculating that the Fed will keep rates as they are for the time being, not lower, not raise. And just let it ride. So we'll see if we can ride out this bubble and get out of the cycle that we've been in the last couple of years. But, you know, as of now, it seems to be.
You know what they're doing? They're pushing back the lowering the rates until summer. Mm. But you know what the Saudis are going to do? Continuing cutting oil production. There's a whole thing going on there. Mo had a great rant in the Politigram group chat about Saudi Arabia's plan and what they're going to do and why, you know, they're either going to get what they want from Biden or they're going to get Trump back in, obviously. But I mean, it was great. I asked him to come on the show. First of all, he lives in Saudi Arabia, so different time zones.
Oh, wow.
But Mo also, he was like, just copy all that text into a Homer Simpson AI and read it on the show, which I did. But then I couldn't find a free Homer Simpson AI. So listeners, if you have one.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it. Do you want to get into other news?
Let's get into other news. All right, so this first one, this was pretty funny.
Yeah, this took me a surprise when I heard this headline. I was like, How come nobody's talking about this?
Yeah, so two brothers in Trump media insider trading scheme plead guilty. So as we all know, the Trump media was recently merged with that SPAC, which had raised...
Not supposed to say that anymore.
No, Special Purpose Acquisition Company.
Oh, thank God. What did this mean? No, I won't do it to you.
They had accumulated all of this money, and so they merged and went public with the Trump Media IPO. Uh-huh. These guys had inside information that was happening, and so they were able to profit off of it. One was like, I don't know, I think it was like $18 million for one of them. The other one was like five, total of about $23 million.
Well, 2.5% inflation, what even is that anymore?
Yeah, I mean, that's pocket change, right?
What kind of insider information, who do they get it from? Like, you know, there's insider information and then there's like, well, what's the inside? Like,
well, so the people who were part of the special acquisition company, they had information from them, people that were doing the deal.
Well, are those people in trouble? They shouldn't be telling them. Or that's how these people got caught.
Yeah, I don't think the article really goes there.
What do you expect from the New York Times anymore, right, Alan?
They are having to pay the money back, and they have pled guilty. And initially, why do we say pleaded?
I don't care.
Don't like that.
Yeah, whatever feels normal in the moment.
They had initially pleaded not guilty,
And then it looks like, you know, they saw the writing on the wall and were like, okay, let's just take the deal. And so that's what's happening.
It's my deal.
It is bizarre that it's not getting more play in the press.
I would think. Well, because people are like, oh, is Trump involved? No. Okay. Well, then who cares? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Next one.
So yeah. These are supposed to be blacked out. Oh, no, they're, it's fine. It's there.
They're not blacked out. I read the article. Oh, okay. This is from CNN saying that Israel is using AI to select targets in Gaza. I feel like we already knew this on some level. I remember talking about something
we
like
did
this,
and I think at the
ago.
Time the response was, yeah, that still gets reviewed by humans,
right? But what this article points out is that, first of all,
wait, describe what they're doing.
Okay, so essentially they're using this AI. The AI says, okay, I think this is a target where there's militants there, we should attack it. Then it tells them what time. So oftentimes they do these attacks at night. And so what happens is often there's a lot of collateral damage because they're doing this at night where everybody's in the same home together. They want to take out one or two militants inside this building.
So they have some ratios that they're okay with.
Right. They drop dumb ammunition or dumb munitions, essentially, just bombs on this entire building, blow it the fuck away. And they don't care that there's, you know, hundreds of civilians in there
That's because they have in this article, or maybe it was a different article, they say that if it's a junior Hamas commander, 15 to 20 civilians is okay. So as long as it's only 14 or 19 civilians, or I guess 15 to 20. So 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's okay. Built into the AI.
That's built into it. And 100 is okay for a senior commander.
Yeah. Which is...
And then they do it at night after they get the information sometimes hours before, which means the guy could have been gone and now you just killed the whole family for no reason. And so some of the other notes that stood out to me in that was the system has a really good accuracy rate of 90%. Like when you look at this stuff, that's really good. 10% error rate.
Right. Yeah. Which means 10%
sometimes
it's time.
A food truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did they call that program?
Lavender.
Oh, that was the program. But the one about the whether they were home or not was called Where's Daddy?
Oh, geez. I didn't see that.
I mean, that sounds mocking, right?
Yeah, that's pretty callous, man.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. Just, oh, and they would, so it was being reviewed by humans, but no more than a 20-second check just to make sure it was a male.
So, yeah, so they had said that, you know, there's still a human in the chain here. It's not just the computer murdering people. There's actually somebody that signs off on it, making it seem kosher, no pun intended.
Checking the mail joke, but
realistically, they're basically swiping right and left on Tinder. I mean, that's what's happening here. Yeah. That's what's it's
imagine it's just, like having a targeting information like that brought to your attention, civilians. I get that, but and just start a 20-second timer. I couldn't even ask you the question I wanted to ask you from the book we both read with 30 seconds chance. And like in less than that amount of time, you're going to just decide someone's life, up to 15 to 20 civilians' life, so that you can kill the target, which you took 20 seconds to decide on. Yes. Like it's not the 15 to 20. It's the 15 to 20 in order to kill the one that a robot told you might be the one you're looking for.
And you spent 20 seconds authorizing
that. That's just, look, I get decisions need to be made with a timely manner. That's a lack of concern for human life. And that's the kindest way I can say that.
It 100% is. And these things just stack on all the other atrocities that we've seen Israel commit in this war.
Dude, how many people are going to die because that boat got turned around?
Way more than
the food truck that caused it.
I mean, I'm not somebody that typically gets on here and rails against taxes, but our dollars are supporting this, and it fucking sucks, and I hate it. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that.
I'm really sorry I stepped on that. That was well put. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. The next one, I actually couldn't read. There's a paywall. Business Insider, I know what...
Business Insider has a paywall?
Yeah. I clicked on it. It was like...
Business Inside them.
If you want to read this, you got to pay.
it was something. Did you find anything else about it? Did you see they got plants to talk? They caught them talking.
Yes, they say that plants got to talk to each other. Now
it's the NSA, they're spying on plants too.
So we've actually known this for
Richard Snowcone. Is it Richard Snowden? No.
Edward.
Fuck. What the hell? Just some English king's name. Edward Snowcone. There.
Richard Snowcone. Show title.
Dick Snowcone.
my voice.
It's all right. Save it for the hockey game, Alan.
Right, right. Where was I? Okay, so we've known that plants communicate with each other for some time. In fact, plants will have like wars between each other. I saw a study recently talking about fungi and potentially using fungi as a method to compute data.
Yeah, they talk about it. Really?
Yes. Whoa.
So if that potential exists, then it's not only a matter of time till these plants figure it out, Alan. They've been talking about us behind our back.
No, we know that fungi do some really interesting and strange things.
We're leaving puns all over this.
I literally read a study where scientists are suggesting that we could try to use this as a basis for computing power. So the way we use binary now.
Dude, you know how fungus is like so different than any other type of life on Earth that people are like, maybe it's alien?
Yes.
What if the whole time the aliens are like, we're just like, okay, they're on to nuclear. This is a rough phase, phase. You know, we'll check back and typically 100, 200 years, they're going to be gone after once they figure that out. But the guys afterwards are going to want computers and they're going to figure out that these fungus have been computers the whole time.
It's a pretty wild scenario. When I read that, I was like, holy shit, that's some crazy ass shit right there. It's interesting. I don't know. I guess that might change your perspective of being a vegetarian.
I know. People are like, you can just grow this fungus. It grows overnight. Like eat, what do they call that? Mushrooms. Yeah.
There you go. All right. This next one.
I only saw the headline. Is this any good? Something about the real decent
funny.
Time wave. Okay.
Essentially, this has been a known thing in press circles for quite some time, is that anytime journalists go on Air Force One to travel with the president, they try to steal stuff. they try to steal, like, you know, pint glasses or, you know,
something with
something with the logo on it. Because you can buy stuff that's like Air Force One related, but it's not actually the same as what you get on that plane. And so if you want to have a cool thing in your office to show your friends that you were on Air Force One, you bring out the fucking martini glass with the Air Force One logo on it, right? So it's been an ongoing problem for decades that people sort of knew about and nobody really talked about. So recently, the head of the, I can't remember what it's called, like the Press Society, whatever the... She sent an email to everybody on the list and was like, hey, guys, this is getting out of hand. We need to stop. And in fact, if you've taken stuff, here's a way for you to return it quietly. So
this is like at a baseball game. I just assumed if the ball's here, I can take it home with me. Like,
so you can call this office, send them an email, and we'll arrange for it to be picked up. No harm, no foul. It's all good.
Are we that short for cash?
I don't know.
Jet fuel's expensive, all right? We can't keep affording.
There were officials that reported that said, hey, it's not that big of a deal, but yeah, it's kind of, it is a problem. We were happy that she sent that email, but we didn't ask her to do that. So
they're like, ask gas or grass. Nobody flies free. So there's some accountant that's like, look, I can make this problem go away. And then he does the exact pose I'm doing right now. I should probably put my hands down.
Those gold-plated dinner plates, you want to have one of those in your in your office.
I'll take a rocks glass. Even a pen.
Right?
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 Your first time going to like a really fancy restaurant, and you're like, ooh, I'm going to take the pen from here. Is that just me?
It's so funny that everything on there is branded to me. Like, can you imagine? Getting on a plane and everything having none taken, like logos on the plates and the glasses. That'd be dope.
I mean, okay, if it's an individual or private venture, it's sort of petty, right? But when it's like the government, it's like, yeah. I mean, we've talked about that before where you're like, why would anybody want to sign up for this type of work? It's like, dude, the letterhead. Like, at the end of the day, it's intoxicating to get a box of business cards and be like, I can give these to people. I can send someone a Christmas card inside this envelope.
Yes. All right. Should we get in the media diet?
Yeah.
All right. I have a couple. So I don't have any movies or TV that I watched last week. I couldn't think of anything to talk about on the show. However, I did get through a couple of books last week, and I'm really excited to talk about
well, one of them in particular, but both of them are actually really good. So the first one is called Three Dangerous Men. I should have the author for that, but I don't. This is a book that Cody brought up on when we had the interview with him and Julian.
He brought it up several times.
Yeah, in fact, I think last time we talked to him, he brought up the book as well. So when I heard it that time, I was like, okay, I got to put this on my list. So I picked it up. It is about three specific people. So Gerasimov, who we know is the Russian chief of staff.
Gerasimov!
Yes. That guy. Soleimani, the guy that the Trump administration murdered in Iraq, from Iran, who had led the Quds force. And then Zhang Yuxia, which is a name I was not familiar with.
Sorry, I made a sound.
Oh, Zhang Yuxia? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. This guy I hadn't really heard of, but he is the vice chairman of China's Central Military Commission. And essentially what the book does is it goes through each of these individuals and gives you sort of a biography of them, like cool. Where they came from, the things that they did to get the position of power that they hold currently, and sort of their theory of mind, their philosophy, how they think. Also, the book talks a lot about irregular warfare and how the U.S. has focused most of its defense spending on regular warfare, right? So we build ships, we build aircraft carriers, we build nuclear subs, we do all this stuff. But we haven't focused as much on irregular warfare. And the opinion of the author of this book is that we really should focus way more on this because
how did we come out from the war on terror without having an emphasis on that? I mean, isn't that kind of what the littoral ships were for, from a naval perspective?
Yeah, but China has this three-pronged thing about like domestic propaganda, international propaganda, and like actual like kinetic warfare, right?
Okay.
And they lean a lot more on some of the more non-kinetic forms of warfare. One of the things that a lot of these guys agree on that are chronicled in this book is that war is happening all the time. Whether we are actually in a state of war between countries, we're always
war by other means.
Right. We're always in conflict with other countries. We want to promote our country. And that involves propaganda domestically, propaganda internationally. You know, the Russians doing things like just sowing disinformation all over the place. They don't care if you buy the narrative. They just want you to hear six different possibilities where you just throw up your hand and say, fuck it. None of this matters. And so it's very interesting. And you get a very in-depth, detailed look at these guys, their leadership style, the way they think about war, the way they think about conflict generally, and like sort of where they come from. It is
This is like a really modern history.
Yeah, it's very illuminating. I mean, we go back, like Gerasimov, it goes back to his time.
Don't make me press that button again.
It goes back to his time in the Chechen War, like in the 90s and shit like that. Just really showing where these guys came from. It's very, if you're interested in that kind of shit, I highly recommend it. It's very well written. And just the detail that you get to know these characters is very impressive. One of the things I talked about Russian humor earlier. So
is this what got you here?
No, the next book is. So the author talks about a joke that Putin liked that he created. And the joke was a father gives his son a dagger. And then later on,
is he going to kill his dad with it?
No.
Okay.
So sometime later, the father goes to the son and says, hey, where's the dagger? And the son says, I sold it for a watch. And the father says, okay. So when the bandits come to take your family and hurt everybody, what are you going to do? Tell them it's past midnight? Like what? And that's the joke, which is not funny. But that's a Putin joke.
I laughed. I mean, right. I went, ha. I don't know if it even got picked up by the mic.
Yeah, I think I did. I heard it.
Okay.
Anyways, just a very detailed, very interesting book. If you like that sort of thing, check it out. All right. Second book. Also, why the fuck didn't I have the authors in here? Second book is called The Tiger. And I don't honestly know how this ended up in my library.
This is Audible or Handbook?
Audible, yeah.
Handbook.
Is it going to tell me? John Valiant is the author. All right. So here's the thing. So The Tiger is about a specific tiger in a specific place in a specific time.
Is it the one that bit Roy or Siegfried?
No.
Damn it. I like that tiger. That was a cool tiger.
This tiger is in the far east of Russia, so we get more Russia here.
Siberian tiger?
It's near the border with China, is the space where this happens.
China is asshole!
It's right there. I'm already on the screen.
By the Sea of Japan. And so the Armenian Raider thing actually comes from this book.
That's not Ghost Armenia.
So it is, again, it's about a specific tiger. However, the author tells you parts of the story, and then he goes into meandering. He talks a lot about the history of this place, how these people or characters came to be there. By the way, this is nonfiction. Although when you
nonfiction means real.
It's real.
Okay.
Yeah, true story. Yes,
that's so hard for me.
When you read or listen to the first chapter, you will think it's fiction. I thought it was fiction.
That's how, dude, you got to read Hero of Two Worlds. That's exactly how the book about Lafayette reads.
Okay. Again, I don't know how this. So yeah. Apparently I was probably, I had a few beverages and I listened to somebody talk about this book and bought it. I don't even know. I don't remember.
Drunk book shopping.
Right. I was drunk on Audible, man. I don't know. So I saw it in my library and I was like, oh, let me check this out. It is so good, man. It is so amazing. The detail the author gets to, the crux of the story is very interesting, and it kind of holds you in the story. Sometimes the meandering route that he takes, because he tells you part of the story, and then he talks about some other things like history, etc., or how these characters got there, and then you go back to the story. It keeps doing that, right? You get a part of the story, and then you get history, another part of the story, it moves on, right? It is so that the core story is absolutely gripping. Like, you want to know what the fuck happens. And then the stuff in between sometimes can get a little bit tedious, but it's very interesting. Again, it's a lot about Russia because that's where it takes place.
Sorry, when was the time period again?
The 90s, like 97.
Cool Russia.
Yeah. And
the machine
these people
Russia.
These people that live in this place are the most – like hard scrabble people you can imagine. It gets to negative 40 degrees.
Yeah.
Regularly
Northeast
there.
Russia. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Negative 40 is so hard to imagine.
Even imagine. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I make people, freezers get to negative 10 and I like, bundled up.
And these people survive in essentially a subsistence lifestyle. They live off the forest, right? Yeah. What they can hunt, what they can forage for. Pine nuts are a huge part of their diet because that's what they can get. And the ruble, because of specifically this time period he's talking about, but the ruble was almost useless. Like, you're better off trading.
Right. What's currency at that point? Just trade pine nuts, right? Like, this has
trade pine nuts, yeah. Train the boar you shot, like that kind
Maybe
of thing.
You get an electric nut grinder. And
right. So there's a couple things.
That was earlier. The show.
There's a couple of things that I really jumped out at me that I will share here that aren't spoilers. So, there is part of the story talks about a man who lived in Russia in the 1870s, and he was a member of this club, and he talks to a reporter about that time period during that time. And we have this written in book, right? And the guy says, "Hey, have you heard of the tiger hunting game?" And the reporter says, "No, I don't know what that is." And he's like, "Well, why would you know what that is? Okay, I'll explain it. So here's what we would do. We take a room, we take all the furniture out of it, we cover all the windows with mats, we take out all the lamps. So it's a pitch black room." He doesn't explain how big the room is. I'm assuming it's relatively large. He's like
one of those blindfolded tag rooms that you see on the internet?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. He's like, "Then you pick somebody to be the tiger, and then the rest of the guys all stand in the middle of the room, back to back, with revolvers. And you take off your shoes, you take all the stuff out of your pockets, and you start running around the perimeter of the room. And the men in the middle shoot at you."
And with real guns?
Real guns. And the idea is that you're supposed to be stealthy like a tiger so they can't hear you. And this guy got shows the wound. He got shot in the elbow.
This is like German dueling culture.
This is like Russian roulette on fucking ecstasy.
We got to get Christopher Walken and Robert De Niro involved. I got a movie.
So the reporter is like,
Mao. That's a Beard Hunter reference. Deer Hunter.
The reporter is like, he can't believe it, right?
Yeah. In the 1800s,
1890s,
1870.
And he shows him the wound and he's like, I can't believe you did that. Why would you
and
do that?
And that newspaper report or whatever shows up in this book.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And the guy's like, you know, I don't know. At the time, it seemed, you know, pretty okay. Also, they're only supposed to shoot at your legs.
They're only supposed, they're blindfolded.
And the reporter's like, okay, but you got shot in the elbow. And he's like, well, that's
I shouldn't have
fault.
Been crawling. It's on me.
He's like, I tripped and fell. And that's when they got me.
Oh, wow.
And it's just the mentality to do something.
Could you imagine
like
having an actual revolver and playing this game and identifying somebody fell? So you just it's like, no, like you're more likely to do more harm than good at that point. Like you don't have to win this game.
Unbelievable.
You know what? I just don't
that's
got
just
that
one
dog
of many,
in me, huh?
One of many little stories that are sort of sprinkled throughout this book, yeah. Which are incredible.
And you wouldn't know that if you didn't read this bit of nonfiction. Yeah.
Yes. Also, so there was a treaty signed between the Russian Tsar and China and some other country, I can't remember which one, called the Peking Treaty, back when I think it was the last Tsar of Russia. Was it, what's his name, Nicholas? Alexander?
I was thinking of Peking Duck. Yeah, Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicholas. So he signed this agreement, and essentially what it did is give a portion of what was sort of disputed land between Russia and China, part of Manchuria.
Okay. This is a contested area.
Yeah.
Now, right.
Sort of like the line of control.
Yeah.
And so they defined this border. So they got a Russian territory expanded to take this area. And they'd already sent a bunch of Cossacks and stuff there. So there were Russian people living in this area. And
ooh,
as I said,
all right, Alan, Cossacks are Russians.
It was a very difficult place to live. So China's like, yeah, whatever, you can take this land. So this tiger species lives in this area. And it used to also live, you know, on the China side of the border.
Same tiger, an individual tiger. This is the same book?
This is Boreal Forest is what it is. Anyways, the tiger used to live on both sides. However, the Chinese murdered all of theirs. There's none over there. So essentially, the author surmises that had this treaty not been signed and that land allocated to Russia, this tiger would be gone. It wouldn't exist.
Okay, when you said one tiger, you meant species.
Well, so the story, the main story, is about a specific tiger, which
okay,
of
and
the
then
species.
That was the story about this version of tiger.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't recommend this book enough.
Wow.
I was so fascinated by it. Like I finished listening to it and I was like, I want more.
Is it like 8 hours, 10 hours? History
it's
books
long.
Can be a little
long. It's long. It's probably
like 14, 15. Those probably, are, yeah. That's good. I like it good. I mean, most good history books are about that long on Audible.
Yeah. So,
okay.
There's a funny quote, which I'm just going to, I'm going to paraphrase.
Okay.
But there's a funny quote in it where, it's so the beginning of each chapter has a quote. It's usually literary.
Oh, like
quote.
In Dune.
Yeah. There's usually a literary quote from somebody, a philosopher, a writer from Russia or China. So one of those quotes is a Confucius quote. So the quote is, a woman tells Confucius, I'm cursed. My husband was killed by a tiger. Now both of my sons have been eaten by tigers. I don't know what to do. And so Confucius says, well, why, if this place is like that, why would you stay there? And she says, well, the government here is not really tyrannical. There's really no government presence. And
this
so
is what I say to people from Flint.
So Confucius says, remember, my students, a tyrannical government is far more ravenous than a tiger. And
dude,
that's the quote from that.
Speaking of my priors, Alan, like I'm interested.
Dude, it's fucking fantastic. Right. I can't.
I'll try it out.
All right, man, what you got?
Nothing as cool as that, but I did it. No, actually it was, but I'm just not going to sell it because, you know, the only way I would like talk about this first one especially would be to spoil it. So I watched a movie called Please Don't Destroy the Foggy So it's called Please Don't Destroy. If you just search for that, colon, Please Don't Destroy, colon. Not...
You mean the symbol, not the...
Yes, not the general's first name.
Right, right.
It's weird his name wasn't Colin, right?
It was weird.
Yeah. He's like,
I
no,
saw
no,
that
no.
guy speak live.
Yeah, I know you did. But like, he's like, no. Colin. Imagine, in life, people are calling him Colin Powell. He's like, hey.
No, it's you're saying it wrong.
Yeah,
it's Colin.
Like, you know, the rectal body part.
It is an odd choice, yes.
It is. I think the rectum is its own thing. Barely knew him. so it's called Please Don't Destroy the Treasure of Foggy Mountain, something like that. So it's kind of like a Goonies.
Okay.
All right. The point of the story is there's a treasure hidden on this mountain, and the key to find the treasure is hidden by the person that hid it there, and he leaves the key somewhere where only like a wise and deserving explorer would find it. And
okay.
That's not what happened. A bunch of kids found it, and they didn't know that they had that like key to it. And they end up going on an adventure to, and it's so good. Oh, and by kids, I mean the kids find it, and the movie takes place when they're in their 20s because they didn't know. So it's like a bunch of like, yeah, I would say like, if you like Workaholics, it's sort of that bit of humor in terms of like these like douchebag 20-year-olds. They're like, you know, coming of age, sort of formulaic in a way that if you do it somewhat sarcastically, like they do, still really works. When I say it's like Goonies, I mean in that way.
Okay.
There's some like, you know, completely improbable adventure that you're like, okay, we're suspending disbelief. Obviously, like they've established suspension of disbelief. All the actors are really good in it. Oh, Conan O'Brien plays the owner of a sporting goods chain, a local sporting goods chain. He's great. He's Conan O'Brien's fantastic in this.
I love Conan.
Yeah. And the story is about his son and his two friends going on an adventure. Please don't destroy your bottom. Something like that. A foggy bottom. Foggy mountain.
Foggy mountain. Foggy bottom is CIA, well, right?
Please do destroy your bottom then. I didn't. Foggy Bottom's the CIA?
Is it? No, is that the FBI? Which one is the Foggy Bottom?
I don't know. Soggy Bottom Boys is... what are the Soggy Bottom Boys from, Alan? They are. He is the man of constant sorrow. Oh, brother, where art thou? That's the Soggy Bottom Boys.
It's a neighborhood.
He's a Dapper
DC.
Dan man. Remember, he's a Dapper Dan man.
Yeah, so Foggy Bottom is where the CIA headquarters are located.
I'm pretty sure that's Langley.
The neighborhood is called Foggy Bottom.
Are you lying?
No.
The internet told you this?
I knew this, but I did Google it.
I didn't know
that.
That's weird. Huh. All right.
Yeah. Some people refer to CIA area as Foggy Bottom.
Oh. Well, somehow I knew that was a thing. That's why I said, please don't destroy your bottom.
Right.
I got good cover there.
All right, moving on. What else? You saw Blackberry. What did you think?
Yeah, Halle Berry. Mayor Barry.
What's that movie she's in with John Travolta?
Halle Berry?
Yeah, it's the one where he likes
bad movie.
He's a hacker.
Yeah,
but there's a scene with her on that.
Yeah, and it was I watching it in theaters, I was very happy because, you know, big screen.
Yeah.
It was like 2001 or whatever. But it was gratuitous. Like as an 18-year-old, I was like, might have been 19. I was like,
it was gratuitous.
I was like,
no,
well, this was uncalled for. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, you
enjoyed
know,
it, but
yeah. I'm glad that Halle Berry was so bold. Good for you, brave woman. But it was gratuitous. It was unnecessary in the scene. It was like she was sunning herself, and then she's like,
I don't know. I felt that, you know,
it added
to the ambiance.
You know what's funny? The thing I remember from that movie is all the steel balls shrapnel from the explosion. Going like,
oh, yeah.
That stood out more than Halle Berry, hallelujah, holla back. All right. I watched Blackberry. That's why I said Halle Berry. Mm-hmm. Now I feel racist.
No.
Natasha's mom says I don't have to feel racist. Because you know why?
I had black friends growing up.
Which is true. Until I told a poorly timed joke that my uncle taught me that I didn't know any better. See previous episodes. I can't keep telling that story. I watched Blackberry. It was really good. It was almost like a McG. The guy that did Talladega Nights, the other guys, that style of comedy. One of those movies where it's like secretly about something else. Like the other guys was secretly about the banking collapse in the 2008. Even though it's a detective movie with Mark Wahlberg and Will Ferrell. It felt almost like one of those movies where it's a comedy, historical comedy that was somewhat being like satirical and a critique of society at the time. There was a lot of insight into the creation of that phone, foresightedness of the original founders. Like they really saw the opportunity of the moment.
And their engineering talent was just incredible.
Yeah. Well, and the movie kind of pivots on how they acquired that talent, doesn't it? Now, the original talent was remarkable, but then yes. how they maintained that dominance was sort of the act three of the movie.
Yes.
Not to mention not keeping up with the times, which is a classic tale. Like it was, it was a great drama, comedic drama, you know, in like the Greek classical sense of the told about a fucking phone, you know, but it was a tale of our time. And it's like any other good history where it's like, let's focus on one person or one thing. And like you said about that tiger, I'm going to tell you a story about that time period. And this kind of covers 1997 to 2010, 2013. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're anywhere around our age, which is like 23, right? You remember all of this stuff happening. You remember, you know, one of the scenes opens up with them, like, it's 1997 and they park and NOFX is playing, except it was a song that came out in 98. And I knew that. I was like, hold on, I know that album, Natasha. You know how, like, you know the year release of albums from like 15 to 25, but none of the ones since then?
Sure.
Yeah. I was like, I know this for sure. I know when,
so I know long, when that came out.
I know when So Long and Thanks for All the Shoes came out. Anyway, yeah, so it starts in like 97 and it goes on through them not keeping up with the release of iPhone. I don't think we're spoiling the movie. The movie, like,
not at all.
Like, because the reason I didn't watch it until now is because it was like, I fucking know this story. Man, it's so well told. And if you have Hulu, it's free on Hulu, I'm pretty sure. I don't think I paid for this. No.
It's an excellent movie. Yeah. It couldn't be.
Yeah, it was well done. Oh, better, and Dennis from Sunny in Philadelphia, I won't tell you which character it is, but for like a minute, I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Dennis. And then Natasha's like, no way it is. I'm like, I'm going to look it up on the internet, but I know that's Dennis. And it fucking is Dennis. And
it is Dennis.
He plays that character so well.
He's hilarious.
So hilarious. And such a dick. Dude. Such a dick. But he was right. He was just, every time he was right, you're like, I would do that in a way that would inspire people to do that with me and for me. Yep. You're doing that at people because you don't have any emotional maturity.
True.
See? Dogs don't like that. Yeah, I say that, then I scream at my dogs. I don't have to tell everybody that. Especially the little one. Shut the fuck up, Addy. God. It's like I open the door. You don't have to be barking. It's 6:30. I'm bringing Natasha coffee because I'm a good guy that yells at his dog.
All right. You got more media or you want to do a game?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got a couple of games to choose from.
Okay.
So you can either play a game to determine how anti-Semitic you are, see how you feel about that.
Okay.
Or you can guess whether a musical instrument is banned from Marlins games. So a list came out. You don't want to test if you're, you know what?
The anti-Semitic game to get to.
The anti-Semitic. Yeah, who knows how long it'll take until you find out you're not anti-Semitic, right? Okay. All right, we'll save that.
Yeah, I'll do that one next week.
All right, we'll save that. Fine. Okay. So I have a list of items that was released to a local journalist in Miami that the Marlins approved. So basically, the Marlins were second or third in the league in attendance. And even when they have a decent team, they don't sell tickets very well. And so they are trying to inspire like a festive environment in the crowd. And, you know, I don't want to stereotype, but like, you know, there's a lot of
Puerto Ricans
there. We'll say that. And we know, I mean, Cubans, you know. Anyways, there's a festive Latin culture, let's say, right? Mm-hmm. And there's no reason not to expect that in the ballpark, right? Because you got a lively sport like baseball, right? Another way of looking at this is, well, you got to have fun. Like, I guess you can't just watch baseball. So they're allowing people to bring in musical instruments. Here is a list, not making it up. Permitted instruments. I got a different way. I was reading. Permitted. Mm-hmm. Not permitted. Permitted. They don't give you papers to do it. So, permitted instruments. I don't know how to say this word. A-F-U-C-H-E. A fouché. It's the beaded shaker. It's like it's on a stem, and then it's got like a very shallow, wide drum with beads on it, and you shake it around. Almost like maracas. Maracas. They're on here. Maracas, almost like maracas. Moraca, buleador, which looks to be a good sized drum. Buleador, buleador.
Those are allowed.
Congas are allowed. Congas, okay. I'll remind you, are two drums standing on a holder.
Yeah, relatively large.
This is supposed to be a game. All right, now that you have had three examples, Alan, if congas are allowed, do you think bongos are?
I would assume bongos would
bongos
be allowed.
Bongos are allowed.
Okay.
Claves, they don't like those rasping drumsticks. Are claves off?
Oh, like the washboard almost.
Kind of. But sticks.
Yeah. I'm going to say no.
Now, you're bringing it to a sporting event. So I can understand. Yeah. You can bring some drums. Like, that's going to be tough to throw on the field, right? So you're saying claves are too dangerous for a game because people will sharpen them, right?
Yeah.
Nope, claves are allowed.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't know how to say this. Guira, G-U-I-R-A. It's like a cylinder. It looks like a log with two tapered ends and then like a round rasping device. I think you rub against it. Guira. Oh, never mind. I'm describing it, so it's on the list.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the fucking list. Okay. Do you think you could bring maracas?
Well, I would assume you could bring maracas. You
bring maracas. What about, I mean, you could sharpen the stem on a little maraca, though, you know. Now, they call it a pandereta, but it looks like a tambourine. God damn it, Dustin. All right, well, I guess you can bring a pandereta. So that's like a tambourine, but it's got a drum over it. So it's like shaky, shaky, boom, boom, shaky, shaky, boom, boom.
Okay, all right.
Honestly, I'm like, are we to expect that everybody's going to be in rhythm, or is this just going to be a cacophony?
It's going to be a cacophony, but games usually are anyways. So we haven't found one yet that they haven't allowed. No, I mean, piano, I assume you can't bring.
Do you think you bring a trumpet?
Yeah.
Do you think you could bring a trumpet?
Sure.
A metal trumpet.
Is it the answer? No. You can bring a harmonica. You can bring a flute.
It's not on the list. You shouldn't be listing things, Alan. The harmonica is not a permitted instrument.
Damn.
Cowbell.
Sure.
You know what? Yes, you get points, but it's the only one with an asterisk and an explainer underneath it. The cowbell percussion instrument is permitted, but additional cowbell styles may be denied entry. What does that mean?
I don't know.
I don't even know. Like,
I don't know what that means.
So you can bring
cowbell
the
styles.
You can bring,
the one from SNL.
Exactly. Christopher Walken's with his pants and his gold records.
I need more cowbell.
Yeah. What about what about this one, Alan? An emotional support tenor saxophone. Do you think I could bring that?
Sure.
It's not on the list.
Oh, damn.
You're not on the list. Straight to jail.
Womp, womp, womp.
Womp, womp, womp. Let me ask you a question. We'll get out of here. This is a lot of fun. I'll let you get to your hockey game. Oh, shit. We're 3 minutes over. Are you good?
Yeah.
Is there a... did you ever look up the scientific name of a pine tree?
Oh, I did, and I forgot what it was. And I closed the tab.
You know what song? I was at karaoke last night, and I heard a guy sing this song. Don't look at it yet. Don't look yet. Don't look at it.
Okay.
I was listening to a guy sing his karaoke song. They sang Rocket Man. Rocket Man, right? Everybody's heard this before. There's some lyrics in it that make me want to hear Borat do a cover of Rocket Man. Do you know which part?
I can see that.
I miss the earth. I can't even do my wife. I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife. It's lonely out of space.
Rocket Man.
It was just the my wife part. Okay. My wife. Okay. Did you look up the scientific name of pine tree? When will that stop being funny to me? I don't know if it's funny to anyone else. When will that stop being funny to me?
It's a pinus.
That's good. That's going to the sheet. James, you did a good job. James sent that in. drive safe, bud. Drive safe.
All right, man. Cheers.
Get home safe from your hockey game, Alan.
Absolutely, I shall.
Have some fun.
All right, man. See you next week.
See you, man.